I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/acast. That's burrow.com/acast. burrow.com/acast.
Hi, Gina.
Hi, Ioni. Hi, everyone. I'm Gina, the senior editor of Polyester.
And I'm Ioni, the founding editor in chief of Polyester. And this is the Polyester Podcast, a feminist pop culture podcast dissecting the discourse on a weekly basis.
Before we start, if you're a fan of this podcast, please make sure to like, rate, and subscribe. And if you really love us, you can sign up for a podcast membership where you can join our WhatsApp and get on our Instagram close friends for only £3 a month. Do we have any reviews, Ioni?
We do. We have so many nice ones. Thank you, everyone, after Gina's moan.
Ooh.
We have lots
Gina's
of lovely
moan.
Ones. Yeah.
We both moan.
Wrong with a moan.
Wow.
This is 5 stars, one of my fave UK podcasts. I love this podcast. Ioni and Gina dissect complex cultural issues in this warm, approachable way that does not dumb down the topics in the slightest. They give great context for every topic, which I so appreciate as I haven't been very online lately. In fact, as someone who is a bit older than Polyester's audience, I was worried this podcast would be so full of lingo and references that would go over my head. But I was so wrong to think that, because they make the discussions really universal and ask bigger questions of what this all means on a wider philosophical level. I'm going through older episodes now, as this has become one of my favourite podcasts. I haven't found any others like this in the UK. It's so refreshing. 10 out of 10 recommend. That is by TMN Headlines via Apple Podcasts.
That's so nice.
Very gorgeous.
I think like an extra long one always touches my heart.
Yeah, now you're just asking everyone for essays.
No, I'm just like, you put so much effort into that.
Yeah,
like,
it's
whenever
really
like
cute.
I have to put in like a Google review for a mate, I'm like reaching the bare minimum. I'm like, yeah, great. Fuck you.
Yeah, I went on my Google reviews the other day and I only had two, and one was you doing it for a place that you like of your mates that you wanted to review.
Oh yeah. She was like, can you review? And I was like, going through every Google account that was logged in to like just review off it.
Identity fraud.
Take back the review. Not all reviews mean anything anyway.
Today I've gone down a very deep and dark rabbit hole. This topic was suggested by Lauren on our team, and I actually just didn't realise how deep it went and like how much there was about this. Like, so we're basically talking about Sydney Sweeney's tits, lol, which I cannot believe we are here, and how they've become like political symbolism, basically, which I find depressing on like so many levels. Well, I'll go into our research in a second, Gina, but did you have the same like reaction as me?
I think maybe I was a bit more aware of like how much of this was happening, but I also thought that it was majority of it was a joke.
So this is mainly happening on Twitter. So do you think because you're not on TikTok anymore and you're spending more time on Twitter, you are more au fait with it?
Yeah, I think I'm like getting a bit more understanding the trending topics on there. But I did, because of the people I follow, obviously I'm not following any alt-righters. I did generally think like everyone was just like having a laugh with it, but the amount of like research that you found from like people taking it seriously was really surprising to me, for sure.
Okay, so let's get into it. So Sydney Sweeney's boobs have been a mainstay in the discourse for a long time, whether it's via like big boobs or back discourse. Like even the other day, Gina, you put in our group chat for the team, didn't you, being like, oh, it was a tweet basically saying that like big boobs are a sign of recession and no are a sign of like economic regrowth or something like that, and then big bums are a sign of economic decline, but and then I was like, it's actually the opposite. Is that it?
Yeah, that does ring a bell, but I sent so many fucking memes in our chat that I...
I'm not calling you out.
No, I know, I just mean, I don't remember, just people trying to use it as like the skirt index or like the lipstick index.
Yeah. Or yeah. Whether it's through like small boobs are classy and big boobs are gross discourse, like I see that on my thing.
Oh, I used to be so like... angry. Like, I had so much ire against that. Like, I'd go into, like, work H&M kids wearing, like, the sluttiest outfits, and then they'd be like, you can't wear that here. It's a place of work. And I'd be like, if I had small tits, you wouldn't give a shit. And then they'd be like, for fuck's sake. Like, just leave me to it.
So as women of big boobed experience, we are actually experts on this topic.
Yeah, definitely. I think there's no one better to discuss it, to be honest.
I agree. So most recently, Sydney Sweeney is in that film called Immaculate, which Gina has seen.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see. Everyone's saying it's really good apart from Gina and Charlotte, so I'm interested. I'm a big horror fan.
I think everyone in my... Are you?
Yeah, I love horror films.
Oh, I hate them, don't I?
Did you not know this about me?
No, I didn't know that about you, too.
I watch loads.
Then when I watch Barbarian, I had to sleep with the lights on.
Yeah, anyway.
Yeah, me and Charlotte went to see it, and I think we were just, like, in, like, we were, like, a Saturday daytime, like, 2 p.m. viewing, and everyone in there was, like, obviously, like, there to, like, be cynical of it, because, like, any time, like, something happened that was, like, maybe a bit on the nose, or, like, any time Sydney Sweeney burst into a room speaking Italian really badly, like, everyone was just pissing themselves, but it's not trying to be a funny film at all.
So this film also has been, like, a pet project for Sydney Sweeney, basically, like, she was attached to it, like, 8 years ago or something. And it got dropped a lot, and then she went on as a producer and basically got it funded and stuff. But anyway, there was a Twitter user named Aurora Faced, who has now deleted their account, who wrote, "Lib saw how the anti-woke crowd embraced Sydney Sweeney as their new darling, and right away had to shove her in this blasphemous, satanic, feminist, pro-abortion, anti-life movie degrading Christians. This movie also debases Mary, Mother of Christ. Don't bother watching." This is just like the latest in a long thing. So a couple of like other tidbits which aren't part of our fully larger researches. In August of last year, she got backlash for doing a photo shoot for Variety's Young Hollywood cover. Loads of people were saying it was like objectifying under the male gaze, because it was like kind of like a traditional pin-up girly style thing of her like eating ice cream and stuff, which, by the way, I see those pictures of Leighton Meester and Blake Lively go around all the time of them feeding each other ice cream, and people just see it as like aesthetic, so I don't really understand the double standards here, but anyway.
I just hate the term like objectify yourself, like what you're on about.
Yeah, also like it just displays such a acute misunderstanding of how those types of things work. Like, it's not as if she, it doesn't matter if she was, but it's not as if it's like a candid pap shot or something, or like a selfie that she's posted. Like, there's tens of people that go into the making of that image. It's not as if she would have been the creative director or anything like that. Like, yeah, she would have agreed to it, and it's fine if she likes it, but being like she's objectifying herself just completely shows a lack of understanding for how images like that get made. Anyway,
exactly.
One of the tweets was, "Whose idea was this photo shoot? It's tacky. Some women objectify themselves in a very sexual way and then complain about being taken seriously." And the next one, "You don't need to be doing sex faces and be half naked licking ice cream to tell us you're a part of powerful young Hollywood. Lamau." Before that, you might remember she got shit for doing like a birthday party, which everyone said that they were wearing MAGA hats. But apparently it was like not MAGA hats. It was saying like make your 60s great again or whatever, because it was for her dad or someone in her family. But it was all like very, she's from the South, I think. And it was all very like, we're in a barn and we're all wearing cowboy outfits. And then we have MAGA hats on. So obviously everyone was like, oh, they're MAGA. But apparently it wasn't as clear cut as that. On to the next part. Oh, and also, do you remember when her grandparents were asked to comment on her tits?
Really?
And then they were like, she has the best tits in Hollywood. Like, obviously just trying to get on board with the joke. But I feel like it's so acute, the objectification around her, and like the way people talk about her body in a way that we haven't seen in a long time, in terms of like fat people, for example, or like more heavily marginalized people, especially if they're in the spotlight, are used to having their bodies kind of dissected in this way. But in terms of like a very someone who adheres to beauty standards, I feel like we haven't seen as much projected on someone like her in a long time.
Yeah, it's come full circle now. Like, back in the day, it used to be like you wouldn't really talk about someone in a marginalized body, but like the front page of all the tabloids or like the trashy mags would all be focused on like, so and so has lost a little bit of weight, so and so has got cellulite, so and so has got like the tiny ways that they're slipping up from being like traditional standards of beauty. Was like, we're going back to that space, it feels like, with Sydney Sweeney's tits.
It's actually kind of the opposite, I would say, but we'll get into it in a minute. So, Know Your Meme. I had to get on Know Your Meme to really get to the bottom of this, because there's just so many strands. This is what they say. So, Sydney Sweeney's anti-woke boobs refers to a sentiment among some conservatives online that actress Sydney Sweeney's March 2024 appearance on Saturday Night Live, in which she notably wore outfits that emphasized her cleavage, was somehow an affront to woke culture. This sentiment led to an editorial in Canada's National Post, leading to jokes and debate online. On March 3rd, 2023, Sydney Sweeney hosted Saturday Night Live. The episode notably featured several skits centered around her breasts. Following the show, Twitter user Rachel Hanania posted a clip of Sweeney from the end of the show with her in a dress that prominently features her cleavage, writing, "Wokeness is dead." The tweet gained over 6,300 retweets and 57,000 likes in 4 days. Later on March 3rd, Ian Miles Cheong echoed Rachel's sentiment, tweeting both the Sweeney video and a video of a carpenter doing ceiling installation, arguing that because the videos were popular on TikTok and Twitter at the same time, wokeness was dead. The tweet gained over 3,500 retweets and 48,000 likes in 4 days. The sentiment inspired confusion and debate on social media. On March 4th, Twitter user Waco Warren quote tweeted Richard Hanania, who is like this weird guy that's obsessed with her. And sorry if I'm getting stuff wrong. I have recently changed meds and they kind of throw me off headwise. So before people say that like I'm being woefully ignorant for not being able to pronounce things wrong, I've actually been trying very hard and I feel very frustrated. Anyway, so this Richard person asked, "I'm genuinely curious as to what woke means to white people, lol." Gaining over 7,500 retweets and 120,000 likes in 3 days. On March 6th, writer Amy Hamm of the National Post published an article arguing that wokeness is no match for Sydney Sweeney's undeniable beauty. In the article, she argues that admiring Sweeney's conventional attractiveness amounts to a stance against wokeness. The piece also quotes Jordan Peterson's much-memed "Sorry, not beautiful" tweet, which is when there was a plus-size person on the cover of Sports Illustrated, and then he was like, "She's not beautiful, this is being forced down our face," and defended him as an unrepentant thought criminal. And the recent wave of Sweeney's praise amounts to validation of his point. The piece was widely mocked on Twitter. On March 6th, Twitter user David Dole screenshot the piece's first line, "A Sydney Sweeney's breasts, double D harbingers of the death of woke," in mockery, gaining over 2,400 retweets and 30,000 likes in 1 day. User Yui Bollocks, Jesus Christ, quote tweeted the National Post article saying, "Big fat honkers made me racist," gaining over 23 retweets and 520 likes in 1 day. Thoughts?
Crazy. Absolutely mental, isn't
it? I think, obviously, that's just like a big stream of like what's been going on online, which kind of displays the widespreadness of it, like considering how long that took for me to read out. But it's also crazy how obsessed there's a part of me that doing this research was like, oh, it's kind of annoying to give this person more airtime because it's obviously what they want, which is the Richard Hanania man, who hasn't actually written an article, but it seems like he's a Substack or something similar where he's like literally obsessed with her. So one of the big tweets that went round was this one. "The case for Sydney Sweeney being right-wing is pretty strong. You would expect a young actress to be liberal, but in this case, there's a good amount of countervailing evidence. She grew up in Northwest Idaho in a religious family. Her family turned out to be a bunch of maggers, with her dad wearing one of those blue line flag shirts. Once that came out, she didn't denounce her family or give her money to BLM or anything. She never said anything left-wing. In Hollywood, liberals have an incentive to express political opinions, while you'd expect conservatives to stay quiet. This was the theory behind Taylor Swift circa 2015, and I suspect that Swift was more conservative-leaning back then. But like a lot of young women, she moved to the left-ish during the Trump era." One argument against the theory is that she just did a movie mocking Catholicism. I think we can reconcile this by classifying Sweeney as a member of the... I don't know how to say this word. Nietzsche. Is that the author's word? Like the philosopher?
Nietzsche, yeah.
Yeah, Nietzsche. Nietzschean right, pro-sex, pro-beauty, and hostile to both Christianity and leftism as two main manifestations of human weakness. This would also explain the GLAAD Awards. So Sydney Sweeney went to the GLAAD Awards and everyone was up in arms about it. "Since gay men in Hollywood are very aesthetically and morally pagan / fascist, despite the historical accident of them being on the left in this country due to the power of the Christian right. The left senses all this. It's why the discourse has hit such a nerve. And they have to pretend not to care. They dismiss this whole thing as stupid and then go and write 20, 30 think pieces on my one sentence tweet." I mean, this tweet is a hell of a lot longer than one sentence. In an era of mass layoffs at seemingly every major media outlet, they still have the resources to create an entire literature on what Sydney Sweeney's imply about the future of wokeness. This tells us something. I will say also, during my research, I found absolutely no articles like on the from the left, really, apart from like two very surface level news articles saying like, stop talking about Sydney Sweeney's tits. This is alt-right madness. And I've seen hundreds of alt-right sentiment.
Yeah. I also think, like, her saying, like, this means this, like, they say they don't care, and then loads of think pieces pop up. A lot of the time, a think piece might be commissioned by an editor who's trying to hit SEO points,
mm-hmm.
rather than a writer who really cares about wanting to say something. But, like, do you know what I mean? Like, I just don't necessarily believe, like, people being like, well, they're going mental because they want to write the opposition. Like, most of the time it's like, well, no, everyone's searching this now, so we want to get some ads sold on our website.
That really ties into all of the Kate Middleton stuff over the past month as well, where there was, like, an iNewspaper article, like, who is Rose Hanbury, the alleged mistress of Prince William? But obviously it didn't say that because it was the UK press, but that was the implication. Everyone was like, oh my God, soft launch. It's like, no, media people are just literally scrambling to talk about stuff. And I think, because, you know, everyone's saying, like, oh, Twitter is not influential anymore. I think this has kind of shown that it is still influencing the media class and, like, general thought, because, like, this has been a conversation spearheaded by, like, Twitter alternative media men that are trying to engage and do, like, rage bait and engagement farm. And it's clearly working.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, like, they're also under that same thing of wanting to get, like you said, like, they're just in farming for engagement. Like, they're just trying to get people to interact with their stuff so they can grow clout and also just grow, like, their advertising.
So there are two articles that have been, like, heavily quoted. One is by Amy Hamm, wokeness is no match for Sydney Sweeney's undeniable beauty. We've been pressured into pretending everyone is beautiful, except for those who actually are. This was in the Canada National Press, a Sydney Sweeney's breasts, double D harbingers of the death of woke. This is what the public is asking. It basically said the same thing as I've just outlined, but then says, we spent years being chastised for desiring or admiring beauty because beauty is rare and exclusionary, and to exclude it is to hate. So we've been scolded to accept today's diversity, equity and inclusion fanatics. We aren't supposed to admire Sweeney's beauty, but we've done it anyways. The times, they are changing, aren't they?
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey.
Also, can I just say, I've seen so many people calling her mid. Like, so many people online being like, she's not, like, a Russian, like, trad wife. There's, like, 1,000 of these girls in, like, the southern states. Like, she's mid. Like, I feel like the alt-right can't even decide, like, what they want. They either want her to be this, like, iconified image of, like, what a woman should be, but at the same time, they realise that people on the left like her as well, so they still, like, have, like, half of them trying to drag her down and be like, she's mid, she's not even attractive, like, you can find 1,000 of her anywhere, like, all women, like, trying to bring down women in another way by saying that, like, women aren't anything special, but in the same sentence or in the same article on the same website, a different article on the same website, they'll say that she is special and she represents XYZ.
I'm just going to use, that's such a good point, and I'm going to recall one more article and then we can talk about it in more depth. So this is the second one by Bridget Fatassi for The Spectator that's caused a lot of kind of conversations around it. Sydney Sweeney and the return of real body positivity, our fascination with the female figure never went away. For anyone under the age of 25, they've likely never seen it in their lifetime. As the giggling blonde with an amazing rack has been stamped out of existence, a creature shamed to the brink of extinction, Gina Tonic is living proof that that is not the case.
As a blonde person, I was reading this being like, please, my culture is not your costume.
We could all look at boobs and not feel bad about it, and that is a good thing. In fact, I'd argue it's a healthy thing. Boobs are fantastic. There's a biological component that makes it totally normal to be fascinated by boobs.
Just say you want to shag your man and get on with it then, because I'm sick of that.
Then came the advent of the highly strong women's site, and understandably stuff got weird. It's been weird ever since. There was a newfound mainstream media fixation on the male gaze. People were told to fixate on whether the female forms they viewed were realistic or body positive rather than simply nice to look at. Again, a complete misunderstanding of the male gaze. And I wrote in my kind of thoughts on this is that like the right's new fascination with like the male gaze obsession as the harbinger of the death of like being able to look at a woman is just shows how little people understand about what like the construction of patriarchy is. Like this whole media obsession with Sydney Sweeney's tits is acutely a male gaze obsession. Like, we are discussing her through the male gaze, whether you're doing it from a right point of view or a left point of view. You are making a woman who has not made any political statements a political obsession because she has big tits.
Yes, literally objectification 101.
Like, are people dumb? Like, it's honestly blowing my mind that people can't see like how brain deaded this is. Like, it's actually made me like really angry this morning, because I'm like, you are just making this woman, this woman's breasts, like not even her, not even her personality, like a spectacle for which you can project all of your kind of like fantasies, all of your delusions, all of your political delusions onto.
Yeah, it's like the Taylor Swift thing that we touched on in the episode about her times 10, because it's not even just like her as like a figure of like a blonde, thin, successful woman. It's literally a pair of boobs. Like, what the fuck are you on about?
It's so mad. And then she continues to write, writing for the red-blooded American male was hard enough, so I can only imagine what it was like to be one. Normie Americans everywhere, men and women, got used to walking on eggshells. Things that we took for granted as being true, comedians are allowed to be hyperbolic and offensive. The First Amendment is good, men and women are different, was suddenly up for a bit debate. Representation matters, and if the past 2 weeks of Saturday Night Live hosts are evidence, a blonde with nice boobies! And a dude who says gay and the arsler, it says it here, but I'm not going to read it. At last, the culture is representing me, an Instagram Reels addicted basic bitch in the suburbs. People with broad appeal are back. Humor and boobs have returned. It's refreshing in a completely banal kind of way.
What does that mean? People with broad appeal are back.
Water is
what?
Back. It shows a complete, it shows a complete like misunderstanding. Like, people talked a lot about bubbles when it came to the left and like post-2016 election, post-2019 UK election. It's like, this is what an actual bubble is. This woman thinking that people don't like normal people because all she does is spend her time scrolling on Twitter and obsessing over people with hot takes. Like, if you walk down to the pub, there'd be no argument about what Sydney Sweeney is, apart from like a talented actress with nice tits. Now, you walk down the pub and people aren't going, oh, she's the death of wokeness, like...
Yeah, there's such like a trying to explain that to my like dad.
Yeah,
would like be so difficult. Like, there's so many layers up to this onion.
Not our parents, but then older people, or like people that aren't as online. And this isn't like a diss, but I think it's like a lot of the way in which like far right political sentiment gets kind of fed down the internet pipeline to our parents and to Facebook and to our grandparents, whatever. Is that they'll then get the tidbit of like, wokes hate Sydney Sweeney's boobs. And it's like, and then they'll be like, oh, well, you can't do anything anymore. You can't be anyone if you're not like her. Like, have you seen that tweet going viral of Julie Delpy that I put in the WhatsApp chat yesterday?
Yeah, it's awful, isn't it?
Where she's like, oh, it's like a white woman, you can't say anything. Like, I wish I was an African-American. Disgusting, like disgusting sentiment. But things get condensed into such like a tiny soundbite that people suddenly think, oh, well, can't say anything anymore, can you? It's like, no, you absolutely can. Well, you shouldn't be able to say anything, but also not like forcing you to be attracted also, to fat people. Do you know what I mean?
What do you want to say? Like, what do you actually want to say? Like, oh, you can't say anything anymore. What do you want to say? That you like tits? Like, go for it. Absolutely go for it. Like, what do you mean? Oh, you can't say anything anymore. You like an actress having big boobs. Like, all right, are you a 14-year-old boy?
And then there's been even more bizarre articles of trying to be, like, liberal, but then also just being, like, even more fucked. So, this is by Shannon Palace for Slate. Sydney Sweeney's boobs are not that big. If anything, they're kind of average. And then it's saying that being a 34 double D is not that big. Like, someone should, like, you know, spare a thought for all the people with bigger boobs, or for all the people with teardrop boobs, or for all the people with saggy boobs. Saggy boobs matter. All of those types of things. It's like, oh my God, are we really, like, it feels like we've all collectively lost our minds, I will say. Like, this has genuinely made me feel not well this morning.
It just feels like an episode of a TV show, doesn't it? Being like, oh, have you seen, like, everyone's angry about this actress's tits, and then they cut to all the different people who are kicking off, and one of them is like, people being like, no, we need more representation of bigger tits. No, small tits are classy. Why can't I like regular tits? Like, why are we talking about boobs so much? Like, literally Google boobs, you'll see so many.
Also, it's genuinely such a lose-lose situation for her. And like, obviously a lot of the time I'm very cynical about like having sympathy or empathy for celebrities, but there was just something that felt like really dark about all these people specifically commenting on a specific body part of a young woman and like expecting her to be able to do anything about it. And I feel like SNL was kind of her way of trying to do something about it. Not that I've watched it, because I hate SNL, sorry. But from the clips and from the research, they like have a Hooters skit in it, and it's very self-aware. And it's like, even that,
like, she's trying to be in on the joke, but like, it's unfair that she has to be.
Yeah, exactly. 100%. Like, there's just no winning for her in this situation. Whatever she does, she's kind of become this like fascination in the same way Taylor Swift has. You're right. In that, like,
I'm really bad at talking over you today.
It's okay.
It made me really sad because I was like reading through it, and then I was thinking back to like how she spoke about Sam Levinson using her for like her breasts a lot on the set of Euphoria. Like, there was loads of scenes where she was topless and she had to be like, I don't actually want to be topless in this scene. And he'd be like, oh, right, then you don't have to be. Like, it feels like she got forced into being the boobie one on this TV show set, and then it just kind of like spiraled from there, where it's like, you can think of loads of other actresses with giant knockers and even actresses with bigger knockers than hers. Not to go Slate about it. Like, they're not seen it through the same lens, but because of her breakout role putting her in that space, it's kind of like Pamela Anderson, isn't it? Like, so much of Baywatch made it about her tits, and then she had to like be that figure for a generation of women. And I feel like the same thing's happening to Sydney Sweeney, but because we've got this huge divide on politics at the minute, people are trying to latch onto it, being like, we're back to the good old days when we could all just objectify women as much as we wanted. And it's so funny because Pam Anderson has come out so much since and been like, that was horrible for me, that was so shit, like, why would we want to go back to those days where women just are made to feel horrible or feel objectified or any of the things. Like, I don't blame her for not speaking out about it and trying to turn it into a joke on SNL. Like, that's like the number one thing they teach you, like, if you're being bullied or harassed, isn't it, like, the easiest way out of it is to like not engage, or if you do engage, like, show that it doesn't affect her. But like, I would hate for that to be me, and I kind of play into that role myself, definitely, as like a busty blonde. but like, I would hate if that got taken away from me being in on the joke, do you know what I mean? If it became like this symbol for so many different things that I've never said that I agree or disagree with, even if I did agree with the side of it.
And this is why the politics of like the gays as a thing is such a complicated thing. It's a complicated set of like philosophical thought for a reason. Like, it can't be digested into like, Gina has big tits, so she's for the male gays. Like, there's such a level of buy-in there that you play into or reject or like subvert in all these different ways, as does practically every woman who has like an awareness of self. It goes back to what we were saying about Dylan last week. It goes back to what we were saying the week before that. Like, all of these things, we are just removing agency from people by expecting them to not have the knowledge of themselves and how they view themselves in this world.
Yeah, and how they present themselves. Like, every person is making a choice on how they present themselves with every action that they put towards their appearance.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, even with, like, that photo shoot, like, they're saying, like, she's objectifying herself to do X, Y, Z. It's like, do you not think, like, she's maybe got a media plan or things like that? Like, she's been put in this position by euphoria and she wants to play into it, and now it's gone too far this side of it, and you're looking back on it with hindsight and stuff like that. Like, there's so many different layers to it, to, like, how Sydney Sweeney has put herself forward as someone with big breasts, but no one knows her intent of doing that. Like, she could very easily have gone the Billie Eilish route and just, like, fully, like, just covered up. She hasn't, but everyone's, like, put in their thought process on why she's done that on her.
Mm-hmm. I feel like I have quite a high tolerance for, like, internet brain worms and feeling like things have gone too far, and this is the first time in a while where I've really gone, fuck this, like, I hate it, it's exhausting, it's not interesting from any side of the argument, and I just feel sorry for her.
Yeah, and I just feel really bad for her. I'd love to ask her about it, but I'm sure that's all she cares. Yeah. I'd love to be on the session and being like, so tell me about it and get the full goss.
My final thought, I think, is that if we're going into election season both in the UK and in the US with this many brain worms, it does not bode well.
Oh, Trump's winning. I know for a fact Trump's winning.
No.
I've given up.
Well, you don't live there.
But every time, like, I think, oh, this will be the time that it'll change, then it stays being horrible. So I think that if I, with my psychic powers, think that Trump will win, he won't.
I mean, as a generation, we have been, like, through just a series of severe political losses, starting from when we were, like, 16 or whatever it was with the Lib Dem Conservative coalition right up until now, so it's, yeah, okay to feel hopeless, especially when people are fucking saying that Sydney Sweeney's boobs are gonna usher in a new era of anti-wokeness.
Oh, if I never heard the word woke again, I'd be so happy.
Which is also sad because it's such a gentrified term from, like, that had, like, a use originally and has been, like, gentrified out of that use and then mocked.
Yeah, literally, it's been just stolen to be turned into a laughing stock.
Yeah. And with that, we're rounding this up. Thank you, everyone.
Goodbye.
For listening.
And thank you, Olivia, for editing. Thank you, Ioni, for being my friend.
Ah, thank you to you, Gina Tonic, for being a lovely co-host and my friend.
Mwahaha.
Mwahaha. We will see you next week, listeners. Love you lots.
Bye. Bye. Love you. Bye. Bye.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
First time you did something for the first time.